going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right. Hello, friends. And for the final time in 2024, we welcome you to a regular scheduled hour of Flames Talk. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com from the Hot Stove Lounge here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to the Sports Drive on this Tuesday, December 31st. The Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. Hello, Vix. Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you too, pal. How are we feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling strong. And on this final day of 2024, thought we'd get a little bit cheesy because that's what we like to do.
That's my wheelhouse.
Very much so. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Later on this hour, Joe Cirella is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, while Trent Cull is up with the Flames. A little bit of a coaching shuffle about a week ago. So Joe Cirella is going to join us after a big Wranglers win over Abbotsford on Monday night here at the Dome. But before we do that, yeah, let's get cheesy. Text line, feel free to chime in and have some fun with this one as well. Our final kind of year-endy type thing will be our Calgary Flames 2025 New Year's resolutions. Now, here's how we've done this one. Both you and I have come up with these resolutions in a vacuum and did not collaborate on these at all. So we're going to go back. How many do I have? Have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got 9.
Oh,
that I've
good, because you said 10, but I only did 9 too.
Okay, I couldn't get a 10th, and partially because one of them I have two guys, so I have 10 players but 9 resolutions. So
curious.
We'll just kind of go back and forth, and if you take one of my players, then oh well, and vice versa. So you want to rock, paper, scissors for who goes first?
You know what? I am going to be such a gentleman. I'm just going to turn the floor over to you, and you can kick things off for us.
Oh, boy.
In no particular order, I'm going to assume. I didn't number these or anything.
No, I don't
have a countdown or anything of that.
You know what? I'll start with a New Year's resolution for Craig Conroy. Have a in 2025, and this will be in the first stages of 2025, but find that center iceman. Find that guy. Find that young center iceman. That's Craig Conroy's New Year's resolution. I'm sure if he's listening right now, he's like, "Yeah, thanks, Steinberg. I don't.
Thanks.
I know. Yeah, thanks, tips. I know what I'm looking for. But I. This is more like manifesting and putting it out there. This is not me trying to. We all know that the Flames would like another young center if that was possible. But you know, going to find a Dylan Cousins or going to find a Shane Pinto or some of the other names that you could throw out there. Easier said than done, and teams are not super eager to be giving up on these guys or giving these guys away. So all that being said, we've known for quite some time the Flames would be very interested in potentially adding another young center to this team. Well, in 2025, New Year's resolution is that it gets done and that Craig Conroy is able to find a way to do so. The guy that I'm most interested in is without question Dylan Cousins. I think he would be of the realistic guys.
Yeah.
I think McKinnon would be great here. I think Bedard would be awesome, but I'm talking about realistically. I think Cousins would be a really nice fit. He's a right shot. He's 23. He's put up points before, and we know he can play well down the middle. So that would be the guy that I'm most interested in, but there's plenty of names that you could throw out there. And I hope that he's able to get that done in 2025 at some point, whether it's in season or once this season comes to an end.
I'm just surprised that you wouldn't have Craig Conroy resolved to take a vacation every once in a while after the 2024 season, where he saw moves involving Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev, Noah Hanifin, Andrew Mangiapane, Jacob Markstrom. He went through a draft. He went through free agency. Guys earned a little beach time, says me. But who am I? You know what, Connie, you're on the clock. Get that center. Get that under 25 right shot center.
He's got 365 days to do it. I'm not putting a timeline on this, but, you know.
See, though, the thing is, Pat, the 2026 draft doesn't happen in 2025, so how is he going to go get McKenna?
That would be more difficult to do because probably
because I laid it out
exactly how you laid it out. I don't know if the young center. Well, I do know the young 23-year-old center isn't going to materialize in free agency. That doesn't really exist. But if you can find that guy, if that trade exists, New Year's resolution, it happens in 2025 for Craig Conroy. That would be my number one. The floor is yours. You're next.
Again, in no particular order, I'm going to go Dustin Wolf. Resolve to bring whatever home creature comforts you need on the road, because as much discussed, it is incredible the splits between his home record and statistics versus once he gets away from Scotiabank Saddledome. In this building, 9-1-1 with a 2.06 goals against and a 9.35. Away from this building, 2 wins in 7 games with a 3.71 goals against and an 8.72. And I can't figure out the reasoning behind it. There's probably 19 different micro reasons.
There might be a good 20-minute chat on another December 31st edition of Flames Talk.
I see how you did that.
We might have kicked that around or rather at length a little earlier on this Tuesday.
Well, and what we know is Captain Michael Backlund brings his coffee maker on the road, or a version of his coffee maker on the road, with some Swedish coffee that he has imported or sent by family members and friends. I don't know if Dustin Wolf needs something like that, but worth giving something a shot, because it's kind of baffling the difference between the home record and statistics, and again, once he leaves Calgary city limits.
See,
that's an empty netter. That's the low-hanging fruit one.
The first one that I wrote down, though, was Wolf, more road success. I'll scratch that one.
There we go. I'm going to take some notes here so I don't mess this up.
My next guy would be Rasmus Anderson.
Okay.
Two things. More death stares.
Oh, yeah.
The more of those, the better, because we love the Rasmus Anderson stare downs after goals. So more stare downs, more goals also, but the stare downs after the goals, that's the most important thing for me. And then a contract extension. I think it would be awesome if on January 1st, one of the announcements we get from the Flames is that they've agreed to a contract extension with Rasmus Anderson, and he signed 8x8.5 or whatever the dollar figure ends up being. I think that would be a really big day for this organization. And I think it would be awesome for Rasmus, who is built his career here, who has started a family while living 2/3 of the year in this city. I just think it would be really neat to see Anderson and the Flames re-up, sign a long-term deal, and sign it as soon as possible. Like, if it's not January 1st, maybe it's August 1st or September 1st or whatever the case may be. But I think it would be awesome if Anderson came into next season in the fall of this coming year and was not kind of in that lame duck situation where he's in the final year of a contract. So, for me, I look at Rasmus Anderson, contract extension. Rasmus Anderson, more death stares. A two-part New Year's resolution for number 4.
See, I have him on my list as well, and it's for the second one. I wish I would have been witty enough to come up with more death stares, but resolve to be part of the solution. As you mentioned, he's eligible for a contract extension. It'll be telling if and when he's ready to sign one. Won't hold it against him if he prefers to sort of test things out or just play things out as is. But he, in my opinion, is the next sort of natural. Not that we're ready to get rid of Michael Backlund whatsoever, but any contract that Rasmus Anderson signs, I'm going to assume, is going to be a long-term one where he will naturally just become the next Captain Flames. Again, that's just for me. I'm not in the room. I'm not in the coach's room. But from the outside looking in, he seems to be like the next natural fit. So for me, I hope he resolves to continue and see this thing out.
Yep, I don't mind that. Okay, where are you going next?
This is kind of almost identical, but find that contract extension, Connor Zeri, because he's been consistently one of the most dynamic game breakers for the Flames. Third in team scoring this season with 20 points, 8 goals, 12 assists for 20 points. Third in individual high danger chances, 4 with 43. To me, he's that next young player, him and Matt Coronato specifically, but Connor Zeri being tried as a center right now, he's that next step to becoming one of, if not the most dynamic player on the team's roster. So if he can find a way, whether preferably a long-term deal. I mean, I'm not so certain I'm concerned about anything being on the short term, but put some pen to paper. Let's get this thing done in 2025.
I wonder if for both Zeri and Coronado if they don't go bridge. I wonder a little bit about that. But regardless, I did have on my list Zeri contract extension as well. So whether that's a bridge deal, whether that's a longer-term deal, I think for the forwards, they might be thinking bridge a little bit more, but we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. And I can understand that a little bit more just because they've got a lot of forwards that are kind of all in a similar spot right now. Like, are they middle six guys or are they top six guys in this league full-time? And both Coronado and Zeri are guys that are up for contract extensions, and both guys, you wonder, are they going to be top six guys in this league on an everyday basis, or are they going to be more of the middle six variety? And I think that they're still determining that. I think they're both going to be top six.
Yeah.
But because, and then you've got, you know, a Pospisil, you've got some other forwards that, whether it's Pelche, or we'll see what happens with Rory Karens. Like, there's just, they've got a lot of forwards that are kind of, you're like, okay, what exactly is this player? And that's why I wonder if bridges aren't maybe the way to go with those guys. Whereas for a guy like Kevin Ball, a little bit more, under his belt, but also
a bigger body of work, yeah,
slightly bigger, a little bit older, but also, like, I think you know exactly what Kevin Ball is. I don't think there's any mystery as to what Ball is going to be down the road. So that's why I'm a little bit more on board with perhaps a longer-term extension for a guy like Ball. But no, I'm with you. I think a contract extension for Zeri, and by extension, probably a nice one for Coronado would be pretty good too. Both guys eligible for those. Okay, I'll go this. A little more finish from Matt Coronado. Now, that's not to say that he has been snake bitten. That's not to say that he's playing poorly or doing a poor job finishing his chances. But I think when this guy really starts to lean into exactly who he is, and when this guy turns into the type of goal scorer and the type of confident goal scorer that he can be, I think this guy can shoot at an even higher rate. He's at 13% right now in his shooting percentage. I think more shots will turn into more finish, and I could see that shooting percentage for the career being even a little bit higher just because he is one of those guys that can finish at a high level and has always been able to. So the more that he continues to play with this type of confidence, the more attempts and the more good opportunities he's going to have, and that's just going to translate to more goals and even maybe just a little bit of an uptick in terms of that finishing too. And not to say that he's finished at a low rate. I just think he can do it even a little bit higher with the type of shot that he possesses.
This kind of ties into mine, so I'll piggyback a little bit of what you said. Mine was to resolve to develop into the point-per-game player Coach Ryan Huska thinks you can be. And that doesn't necessarily mean that in 365 days from now, in however many games the Calgary Flames would have played, he needs to be at that exact point per game mark, but continue to take steps. And he's, as you mentioned, he's on pace for 22 goals, 44 points. That's a heck of a campaign for a player his age. But we've heard Ryan Huska think that he can be one day in the NHL a point per game player. And perhaps I, in my own estimation, was selling him short in that I thought he could be, you know, crack the 30 goal mark and, you know, 60, 65 points in a not necessarily a career year, but in and around that mark regularly. Point per game player would look really good on that right wing for the Flames. Again, doesn't have to necessarily be immediate, but make sure you're taking steps in the proper direction to be the player your coach thinks you can be.
I like this one. Maybe you do as well. I've got one for Mackenzie Weegar.
Oh, I don't have this one.
Answer your phone if Team Canada calls.
Oh.
There's still time before the Four Nations face-off.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want anybody to get injured, but we know how the NHL works. I think there's going to be four or five guys across the entire event that are a little banged up, that, you know, maybe not severe injuries, but because the NHL season is still the priority, they may decide to take a pass on the Four Nations. And as a result, if one of those guys is a defenseman for Team Canada, I think one of your next guys up will be Mackenzie Weegar. So answer your phone if Team Canada calls would be the New Year's resolution for Mackenzie. He found out, obviously, that he's not going to be on on the initial roster for Team Canada, and maybe he does have a 2-week break and has a trip to Mexico or a trip to St. Lucia or something like that, all picked and ready to go. Maybe he does.
Get some travel insurance.
I still think it would. I think he'll be fine. I think it would be pretty neat if he ended up being on Team Canada for the Four Nations.
I think it would be phenomenal. I think it would be well-deserving. And he literally wears the Hockey Canada logo on his sleeve. He got a tattoo as a teenager of the logo. It's not the one you're thinking of. It's more of the 88-ish logo, if I'm remembering my generations right, for Hockey Canada. But, hey. He's only ever gotten the opportunity one other time. It was a world championship, and for me, he was the best player in that tournament. So if he gets the call, he gets the opportunity to go, absolutely sprint to the airport.
What do you got next?
I've got Justin Kirkland.
Oh, okay. I like this. I don't have this one.
Resolve to get back. We all know the start that he had to the season, the story that he was, one of the biggest stories for the Flames in the early going, if not in the NHL, just by nature of how hard and how long he fought and what he's overcome to get to the NHL and to get back to the NHL. First NHL goal comes 10 years after being drafted and then sustains that devastating knee injury against Columbus on November 29th. That's effectively going to eliminate his season. 8 points in 21 games for a guy you may not have necessarily been counting on. It's hard not to root for Justin Kirkland. Costco, the story when he was here, and it's going to be just as easy to pull for him again once he rehabs that surgery. I don't know if it's necessarily with the Calgary Flames. He's going to be a pending unrestricted free agent, if I'm remembering his contract situation right. But the amount of resolve that he had to continue to push for his dream and to get there and then have the knee injury, the season-ending knee injury happen, just devastating.
Well, and I'll add on to that one. If you're the Flames, sign him back.
Yeah.
I think he was such a good story. And, like, he lives here. This is his full-time home. He was a really awesome story and deserved to earn his spot in the NHL lineup. And at worst, even if it doesn't get back to their next season, at worst, he's a great guy to have on the Wranglers. He is a great guy to have down the middle on that team. So, yeah, get back healthy if you're Kirkland and give him another shot in the organization. I would add that onto it, too, because I think that'd be a really nice story. I think it would be doing right by the player.
Yeah.
And I also think it would just be doing the right thing for the organization. That's the type of guy you want in the fold going forward. And I think there would be plenty of desire on his end to re-sign as well.
I mean, it was a natural fit in the summer, and seeing what he was able to accomplish in primarily a fourth-line role with the energy, with the offense, and just generally the energy he brought to the dressing room, like for me it feels like sort of a natural fit just to bring him back. And again, I have no doubt that he's going to put in the work that's required in order for him to get back to the level he was playing at.
Few texts at 960-960. Nice work. I like those. Shubes writes, Flames New Year's resolution, find more ways to score more than 3 goals in a game. Excuse me, Shubes, they've done that 5 times this year. You
5 out of...
I didn't know that. Doesn't matter how many times.
Touché.
5 of 37. Yeah, they have not scored more than 3
it's
very
over
10%. Often. So, yeah, that's a good one, and could definitely help them with some victories going forward. Here's a nice lengthy one from our buddy Dylan. Flames players' New Year's resolutions. Connor Zeri, sign a long-term deal. Andre Kuzmenko and Yegor Sharangovich, find the scoring touch. Kadri, give a half-decent trade list. We know how Dylan's not a big Nazem Kadri guy. Rasmus Anderson, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Mackenzie Weegar, keep on keeping on. Kevin Ball and Matt Coronato sign midterm deals. Jacob Pelche, work your way back up the lineup. Those are some of Dylan in Revelstoke's New Year's resolutions. Any that jumped off the page to you there? Not so much.
Not so much. Like the contract extensions, yeah. The find the scoring touch again. Like I would have just preferred... And we didn't get to it. I have Kuzmenko written down. Just resolve to shoot the puck.
Yep.
But that that's one, what I, that, I have, that one felt a little easy.
I have Kuzmenko and Sharon Govich. I was going to say, like, hey, it's New Year's Eve. Take a couple of shots, whatever your favorite, if you're into that type of thing.
Shots for shots?
Jameson, vodka, Jägermeister, whatever. Shots for shots, and then maybe that can translate into more shots on the ice in the regular season. And if you don't feel like taking shots, no pressure to drink alcohol, of course. But it is New Year's Eve. Some people like to imbibe, is all I'm saying. And then Dylan also says, bring back Matt Rose as a part of the cycle with Vix and Wes. Also take a vacation. The problem is Matty has a job, and it's very...
That'd be hard.
It'd be tough on the old Rosy body. Are you kidding? Like having to do mornings and then... work his way out of this. No, I think he's doing pretty well where he is right now. Mean Gene says, Happy New Year, guys. Allay my fears, if you will. Every time I hear bridge deal, my heart skips a beat since Tkachuk. Am I off base here? What's the benefit of a bridge deal for Zeri or Coronado or anyone? They have the cap room for them. What's the benefit of the bridge? Well, the benefit always of the bridge is there's two things. First of all, it's a little bit of a... extension on figuring out what a certain player is. That's one, before deciding exactly where you want to commit or how you want to commit long term. And then two, the Flames wouldn't fall into this category. The bridge deal also helps you on your cap. You usually get a lower cap hit on a bridge, and thus for teams that do have a little bit more cap concerns, they help you there. Now the Flames won't have those cap concerns, so it'll mostly be one, but I think you do, unless you know it's a player without a doubt that you're going forward with for the long term sometimes. And that's why I say, is Zeri a clear top six guy in the NHL, or is he a middle six guy? Is Coronado a clear top six guy in the NHL or a middle six guy? And with those guys, I could understand if they went bridge a little bit. I wouldn't mind that, because I think it does give you a little bit more time to map out where they are. And then the other thing is, don't walk him to free agency. That's kind of what happened with Matthew Tkachuk, is that you walked him to his final year of eligibility, and thus he had a one-year deal, which could have been a qualifying offer, and that would have walked him to UFA. So I don't think the Flames would sign the length of deal that would put them in that type of spot. If it's a bridge, it's probably a two-year deal, and on both fronts, neither of those terms would walk Zeri or Coronado to free agency or anywhere close to it.
And just quickly, the other thing to consider too is, players are in on the negotiation. A player might not want a long-term deal. They might want
also
a bridge
true.
To bet on themselves, yep, to set themselves up more for the next contract.
Yeah, and that also is very true, that I think needs to be taken into consideration. This text says, Costco, yes, so somebody agrees with you.
Yay.
And you know what? I like this from Bob to wrap up the segment. All the best to all the staff at 960. You guys do an awesome job. Happy New Year, and I look forward to listening to you this evening and in 2025, 2026, so on and so forth. There you go. Great stuff on the text line. Always appreciate it. 960, 960. Those are your New Year's resolutions for the Flames for 2025, at least our best shot at them. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, and everything being produced by Cam Hughes and Connor Gronsdahl back downtown. They're in the Groundworks Downtown Studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on this Tuesday edition of the program. And once a week on Flames Talk during the season, we check in with Trent Cull, the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He usually joins us on Mondays, but Monday of this week was a Wranglers game. The Calgary Wranglers take a 4-3 win over the Abbotsford Canucks to improve to 21-9-1, and the Wranglers remain the number one team in the American League. But not only are we not doing this on a Monday, but we're also not chatting with Trent Cull either, because Trent is up with the Flames as an assistant coach with Brad Larson away from the team right now, dealing with a family matter. It's Trent Cull as an assistant with the Flames. Marty Jelena has joined the Calgary Wranglers coaching staff as an assistant. And Joe Sorella is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now. Joe, appreciate the time. It's Pat and Aaron. Welcome to the program. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
How how'd it go last night? First night as the head coach of the Wranglers. The boys get you a 4-3 win. Tell us about Monday night.
Well, it started off really well, I'll tell you that. You know, the guys came out. I thought we played very hard, and it showed by getting up 2-0. I thought our specialty team killing penalties was good. We took 3 penalties in the first, and we ended up, I think it gave us a little bit of momentum, and it really dictated the rest of the game for us. So I was quite happy with the effort everyone put forth.
How did it feel being the guy? How did it feel running the bench and being the head coach?
Yeah, it was a little different, you know, in the sense, you know, during the other games, you know, I take care of the defense and, you know, changing them whenever I have to. But now taking care of every, you know, all the forwards, it's a little more responsibility. And, you know, yesterday was a little tough with the 3 penalties we took in the first. But, you know, I had a lot of help with, you know, with Brett and Marty. And they did a great job. And, you know, we conferred with each other quite often on the bench, as coaches do. And we pulled through.
So, Joe, do I have this right? Like, you've been in the coaching ranks since, I think, 1997. So you've been coaching a long time.
Yeah.
Was that your first head coach, like the first game as a head coach, or have you stepped in before?
Well, nothing long term. I might have been one game here and there, but
okay. Nothing
as permanent as this, but yes.
Okay, so how did you find out? I mean, I guess take us through the process for you and how it all came to be on your end.
Well, you know, with the situation happening and, you know, the unfortunate circumstances with Brad Larson with the Flames, you know, taking his leave of absence, you know, I guess the Flames wanted someone to come in and, you know, they talked to Trent and, you know, he accepted that role. And then I was approached by Brad Pascal after, I think it was the Henderson game, the first Henderson game, and,
okay,
you know, approached me and, you know, approached me and asked, and, you know, I accepted. And then we announced it, you know, after just before Christmas.
Yeah. So you've, I mean, you take a look at some of the different head coaches you've worked with over the year, Sheldon Keefe and Cale McClain and Drew Bannister, now Trent Cull, like Mitch Love. You've had some pretty good head coaches you've worked with. I'm just curious as to what you've been able to take from some of these guys that you've worked with on their staffs before over the years.
Well, like you said, it's a real good crew that, you know, right now, other than Drew, who was in the NHL, they're all in the NHL. So, you know, I've been fortunate to have good head guys and, you know, being part of those staffs, I think it really gets you prepared, I think, you know, with the messaging that you try getting to your players and, you know, the communication that goes along with everything. And, you know, I think you take a bit of everybody, but you still have to be your own person. You know,
yeah.
You can't change and be like one guy. I think you're yourself, and then you try forging your own way. And that's my approach right now going forward.
We are chatting with Joe Cirella. He is the acting head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, the number one overall Calgary Wranglers, coming off a 4-3 win over Abbotsford on Monday. Joining us here on Flames Talk, it's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you, Vix.
Joe, 800-plus NHL games as a player, and you've been coaching since 1997, as Pat mentioned. I'd imagine you must feel like you have some wisdom to impart on the players that fall under your umbrella. Is that fair?
Well, you know, it's just experiences, I think. You know, I've seen a lot, you know, coming through the junior ranks. You know, my first gig as an assistant coach was in Florida with the Panthers. And it's kind of ironic that my other assistant was under Doug McClain, and the other assistant was Dwayne Sutter. So I've had the pleasure of now coaching with a couple Sutters. So it's, you know, the wisdom part of it, you learn a lot along the way. And like I said, it's more experiences that I've had an opportunity to play in the NHL. I played in, you know, I played 1 year in the old IHL, or yeah, the IHL. And I spent a year in Europe as well. So all those experiences, and then coming back and coaching, you know, I try using it, trying to communicate with all different aspects of, you know, different situations and experiences. So I think that's helped me along the way, and hopefully can continue to do that, you know, because I enjoy doing it. Like, I've done it a long time, but I really enjoy doing it, working with the guys and, you know, these young athletes coming up, and hopefully something will wear off on them or trigger them to get to the level that they inspire to go to.
You mentioned year one for you as a coach was 1997. I'm just curious from your perspective how you've seen the evolution of coaching players from different generations has changed during your time behind the bench.
It has, and I think, you know, coaching-wise, I think it's the athletes that now are coming in. They're very knowledge-based. And, you know, when I first started, I remember we would do video by VHS machines. So, you know, we've come a long way with the technology.
Yep.
And, you know, these athletes now are sponges that want all this information. And, you know, the organizations put a lot of money into a lot of different, you know, skill development. You got your development coaches, you know, and, you know, your skating coaches and nutritionalists and you know, so I think it's a whole package of these new athletes coming in that they're ready to learn, and you just try giving them as many tools as you can to let these individuals become who they need to, you know, who they inspire to be.
I want to ask you more specifically now about the Wranglers, and just curious from your perspective how you evaluate the season for your group up until this point.
Well, we've had a great season. You know, we've had, you know, a lot of changes since the start of the year, in the sense that, you know, a lot of our players have, you know, been called up to, you know, to the Flames. So, you know, the guys that have stepped up and continued to have good seasons for us have really led the way. And, you know, you know, not naming any names, but I think it's been, you know, quite obvious that, you know, our goaltender has been, you know, quite outstanding. And, you know, we've had key contributors and guys having really good years. Like, you know, you have to be proud of those guys that have, you know, stepped up and taken the role once Calgary started taking our players.
When you go through as many changes as your team has, whether that's personnel that you have on the ice or the coaching staff, what role does the leadership group play in making sure everything is as seamless as possible?
Well, and that's huge, right? Like, they're the guys that stir the drink. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with the, you know, most of them, our leadership group, for, you know, the last number of years. And, you know, that's a benefit of, you know, being with the organization for, you know, entering my seventh year. I've gotten to see a lot of the leaders come through the organization, and, you know, and you take a look at our staff that, you know, we have right now. You know, they're, you know, one was the captain of the team. So he brings a lot of knowledge to the team. And, you know, now Marty coming in with his experience and, and being at the NHL level as an assistant, you know, for the number of years that he has, you know, I think the staff is really, you know, gelled together and really has, you know, helped these athletes get, you know, the information that they need. And, you know, like I said, through that leadership group, I think we have, you know, a lot of leaders amongst ourselves that we can help them, trying to help each other sort of thing.
And you do have that leadership group, but you also have a really good blend of youth on your lineup as well, whether it be Rory Karens, William Stromgren, a host of, as you would know, running the defense, a lot of young defenders. What's that balance like with the veteran core that you have and the youth contributing as well?
Well, I think they've taken a, you know, a step in the right direction, and you know, you have to give them onus as well, because you know, they're taking that information and utilizing it, and when they're given the opportunity, they're thriving on it. So, you know, you only hope that they can continue to do that and get better and better. And let's be honest, like, it, you know, we're not perfect. You know, we've probably won some games that we shouldn't have won. But I think with the effort that everyone puts forth and you know, the timely performances from, you know, on any given night, it can be any one of our players that has contributed. And that's what you need. Like, good teams need that. And I think we've built a culture over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years that, you know, this is our standard, and this is, you know, how we have to play. And guys believe that, you know, anytime we go on the ice, you know, we have an opportunity to win. And, you know, that's culture, right? That you come in knowing that, you know, we're going to play our best. We're going to get the other team's best. And you just continue to try, you know, utilizing that little aspect of the game.
We are chatting with Joe Cirella. He is the head coach right now of the Calgary Wranglers, and the Wranglers are our focus once a week here on Flames Talk, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Just a couple more before we let you go, Joe. Really appreciate the time on this Tuesday and on this New Year's Eve. But, you know, you mentioned being the, you know, prior to this little shuffle, you know, you've worked a lot with the Blue Liners and worked a lot with the defense, and wanted to ask you about a couple of guys in particular and a couple of the younger guys that you've got on that back end right now. It's an AHL rookie season for Hunter Brustevich, and you know, I know that a lot of people look at him and say, well, it's offense. I mean, the offense that he put up in the Ontario Hockey League is the thing that jumps off the page, but boy, it sure does look like he's playing a lot of minutes for your group, Joe. He has played 30 of 31 games as a rookie. Can you just tell us a little bit about how you've seen Hunter grow as an American League rookie this year?
Well, you know, Hunter's has done a good job stepping in, and, you know, he's been sort of given, you know, a huge responsibility of, you know, being on the power play on one of the units. And, you know, we all know about his offensive capabilities. What we try working with daily and constantly reminding is, you know, it's two parts to the game here. It's, you know, if you're a good defender and reading the situations, that, you know, he can, you know, really, you know, the door is wide open for him. And, you know, I think he's astute in the sense that he wants to learn, and he's conscious of, you know, what he has to do to get better. And, you know, I think he's been showing that every time he's been given that opportunity. And, you know, the sky's the limit for the kid.
Do you see the offense starting to come to the forefront a little bit more now that he has maybe gotten a little more comfortable being in this league and some of the other responsibilities that go along with that position?
Well, I think, you know, with as any young player coming into the league, this is a good hockey league. And, you know, the time and space, you know, you have to make your decisions quickly. Like, if you give Hunter a lot of time, he's going to make a, you know, a good play. You know, the trick now is to try making those plays quicker because, you know, you don't have as much time. And, you know, sometimes you might get, you know, think that you have all this time and, you know, things don't work out for you. But, you know, he's working on this and, you know, I think you see improvements on it. And again, at the end of the day, you know, at the next level, it's that much faster. And, you know, it's, I'm not going to say it's harder because the guys are, you know, more attentive to details, but I think it sets you up to become that type of player that you can be able to do, make those plays under pressure quicker. And, you know, it's all about pace. And, you know, that's what I think the one thing for Hunter to keep working on is that pace.
And a last individual to focus on, one of the four guys this year who's played all 31 of your games, and that's Jan Kuznetsov. You've worked with him for a number of years now, Joe, and it sure does feel like he's turned into just a key steadying force on that blue line.
Yes, Jan's been, you know, I think it's year four for me now with him, and every year you can see it a little more growth, and you know, and that's what, you know, sometimes it takes time, right? Like you wish you could get these guys in there, you know, as fast, you put up, you know, get them going up and running as fast as you can, but you know, Jan has made that progression year, you know, from year one to year four now. He's been, you know, constantly on that rise. And I think that's something that everyone's very excited about. He's a big body defenseman, strong, has great skill and, you know, skating and powerful. You know, he's got a hard shot. You know, he's a guy that, you know, that a lot of teams are looking for, right? Like, you know, that 6'4", you know, 220-pound sort of defenseman that can skate. And, you know, he's worked hard on becoming more physical. He's not a killer, but he's strong and physical. And I think that, you know, that's something that's an asset for him.
Well, Joe, really appreciate the time today. It's cool to have you on, and looking forward to chatting with you once a week here over the next little while. And hey, congratulations on win number one. Good luck on New Year's Day against Abbotsford once again. And thanks for spending some time with us this afternoon. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks, Pat. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it. Talk to you.
Be well. Good luck tomorrow, hey. That yes. is, and Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well, yes. Joe. That's
Thanks.
Awesome.
Bye.
Joe Cirella is the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He will be the head coach while Trent Cull is up as an assistant with the Flames. Wranglers back in action here at the Dome, New Year's Day, a little afternoon affair against the Abbotsford Canucks. So you got baby Flames, baby Canucks on Monday, then the two NHL teams Tuesday, and then the number one affiliates once again on Wednesday. So lots of Flames and Canucks interest for a three-day span here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Joe Cirella joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Pickup and deliveries available at Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, he's Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. Thanks to Cam Hughes, Connor Gronsdahl, our outstanding producers as well. And that'll wrap us up on the Sports Drive. It's brought to you, as always, by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.